Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 20th day of June 2017. And I would appreciate it if those of you listening could make a point to pray for me today. June 20th is a bittersweet date for me. It is my wedding anniversary, and my late wife, as many of you know, went home to be with the Lord for eternity in 2011. Today would have been our 25th wedding anniversary. So I would appreciate your prayers that the Lord gives me peace of mind and heart today, and that he does not allow sadness and grief to overcome me as it occasionally does, visiting me in waves unexpectedly. So I would appreciate that very much. Well, today is also the day before I head off to New York City to the Foundations Conference. That is the sermon audio conference that they began recently as an annual event in the Chelsea area of Manhattan. And please pray for me. Pray for my friend Joe Ignacio, who will be accompanying me there. He is the second oldest son of the woman who led me to Christ 30 years ago. And he is not saved. He's not a born-again believer. And he actually requested that he, if he could accompany me to this event. And he is, God willing. He's going to be picking me up tomorrow morning early as we head off to Amtrak and then head to Manhattan for the next 3 days. So please pray that the Lord blesses us during those 3 days, and especially that Joe Ignacio receives the gift of eternal life as a result of hearing the great men of God speaking at this event, some of whom are mutual friends of my guest today. That is Pastor Josh Bice, senior pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia. He's a blogger at deliveredbygrace.com, and he's director of his own annual conference, the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And today, Pastor Josh and I are going to be continuing a discussion that we began last week, which is also the theme of the conference, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Josh Bice.
I'm glad to be with you, Chris.
And let me give our listeners our email address. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have any questions, that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And if you need to remain anonymous because your question involves a personal, private, and intimate matter, we understand that, and we will grant your request to remain anonymous. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if anybody wants to find out more about Pastor Josh Bice, we already have had him give his testimony many times in this program. You can go to praisemill.com, praysmill.com. That is the website for Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, and you can find out more about him and that church. But Pastor Josh, as you know, because I'm assuming you picked the theme for the conference, the G3 conference coming up in January, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship, is that theme and is our theme today. Can you define discipleship?
Yeah, sure. I think, Chris, that first of all, we need to define what a disciple is. And so a disciple is merely a follower or a learner who studies about or under Jesus Christ. And so you could certainly say that about anyone for that matter, but as far as Christianity is concerned, it's people who follow Christ. So you hear people often defining themselves as a follower of Christ. What does that mean? It means they're a disciple of Christ. And the word disciple, just boiled down to the basic necessity of a definition, would mean a learner. And so people who are learning about Christ and following after him, following his teachings, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so people who follow Christ, that they seek to live a life that's in complete submission to Jesus. And so discipleship is both going out and making disciples and then also teaching them in an ongoing process. So when Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. But oftentimes people, you know, confuse that as going and just making converts and then the work is over. But that's just, you know, really that's where the work begins. And so once a person professes faith in Christ, they must then be nurtured and they must be cared for under the faithful teaching and the exposition of the Word of God in the context of a local church. And that's really the basic elements surrounding what it means to be a disciple and what discipleship looks like.
And the theme of the 2018 G3 conference coming up January 18th through the 20th, correct?
That's correct. Actually, on the 17th, we're going to be holding our first annual Spanish conference, and we'll be having several guest preachers preaching in Spanish on Wednesday. And then we'll be moving into the English conference on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, again, both conferences will be on the same theme, the theme of discipleship.
And I'll be giving more details during this broadcast about that conference. But the theme is very interesting because some might take a glance at that theme and they may say to themselves, wait a minute, this seems like it's two different topics, knowing God and a biblical understanding of discipleship. They seem like two different topics. But in reality, being a disciple, becoming a disciple, is how you do come to know God deeper and deeper. Is that right?
That's right. So being a disciple, you are learning more and more about God. You are growing in your knowledge of God. So there's an awful lot of what we would call anemic Christianity today. There's an awful lot of superficial, shallow Christianity. So the local church, in many contexts, unfortunately, is what we might say, it's a mile wide, but it's only an inch deep. And so there's not a lot of theology that's being taught. So people might, you know, go through, you know, the context of their local church life for 15 or 20 years and really not be able to define propitiation. They might not be able to tell you what, you know, the hypostatic union is. And so when we think about knowing God, we need to know some things about God. We need to know about his attributes. We need to know about what he has done in salvation, in saving sinners. So these things are, you know, extremely important. And so, you know, being a Christian is more than just showing up for church once or twice a week. It's more than just, you know, knowing John 3:16 or having a Bible with your name on it. You know, so Christianity is far greater than that. And so at the heart of Christianity, the local church should be pressing upon the body of Christ in that particular context to really put some effort into knowing God. We'll put effort into a lot of things, such as sports, you know, business, and various other things that we have passions for. But if we really are children of God, we should have passions for God. We should desire God. We should want to know more about him, And so discipleship is really not one thing that the church does. It's really the central thing that the church does.
Amen. And as our mutual friend James White has put it, and I am paraphrasing because I don't have a transcript of this from him, but he has said something to the effect, if you really love your wife, you are not going to be ignorant about the color of her eyes. You're not going to be ignorant about her favorite foods, her favorite pastimes, the things that she finds most precious and delightful in her life. And therefore, if those things would not be a mystery to you, if you truly love your wife, then how on earth could you love God, truly love him, and be totally ignorant of very important aspects about him, his character, and what he teaches and what he commands?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if we think that we love God, we need to be putting forth some effort into knowing more about him, knowing who he really is. And so it's one thing to know, you know, a God of your own imagination. It's a completely different thing to know the God of Holy Scripture.
Amen. And speaking of James White, can I have a drum roll, please? I'll just imagine I hear a drum roll, or perhaps even trumpets sounding. Dr. James R. White, after a long absence from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is returning as our guest, God willing, this coming Monday, June 26th, 4 to 6 p.m. So please mark your calendars for this Monday, June 26th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for our interview with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. It's been so long since Dr. White has been on this program. I think we were recording the programs with Reel to Reel at that time. I mean, seems like it's been ages. And he actually was my very first guest ever on Iron Sharpens Iron when I began the program in 2005, 2006, somewhere in that area in New York. And then he was also the first guest that launched the program when I relaunched it in 2015. So he is a very dear friend and very important to me in my life. But mark your calendars for that. And he's also speaking at the upcoming G3 conference, so I'm looking forward to seeing him face-to-face and having fellowship with him. We already have a couple of questions for you, Pastor Josh. We have Jenny in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Would you kindly go over some points on why and how a Christian should have biblical understanding concerning discipleship? It often appears to me that most Christians actually shy away from discipleship because they simply do not know the fundamentals of discipleship. And I would probably add to that that it may sound even like a frightening concept to some people. But if you could, Pastor Josh, answer Jenny from Bensalem, Pennsylvania's question.
Yeah, so Jenny asked a really good question. I think that she's getting to the heart of one of the reasons for the conference that's coming up January is because so many times as we think about the subject of discipleship, it can be a very intimidating thing because we often think we have to go to, you know, a lot of different resources, or we have to read a lot of different books and become experts on a particular discipline that we house under the umbrella of discipleship. But really, if you think about it, the scriptures are our driving guide and foundation for what it means to make disciples and to disciple disciples of Jesus. And so there's much said in the Bible about how we are to go about this business. And if you look at, say, Titus 2, for instance, you see the older are told to and instructed to train the younger. And you see that type of pattern as far as God's church in the early days. And really, when it comes down to, you know, where the rubber meets the road, at the heart of discipleship is a commitment of the local church to the preaching of God's word. And if the church has a high view of God and a high view of his word, then the church is going to have a healthy methodology of discipleship. But where there's a low view of God's word, a low view of the scriptures, then what happens is you tend to be more engaged in pragmatism and various other things that might say, you know, I like to define pragmatism as the golden rule of pragmatism is, quote unquote, whatever works, do it. And unfortunately, so many churches fall prey to that type of thinking. Really what we need is we need to have a high view of the scriptures that drive us to preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, explaining the Word of God, because if you want to know God, you have to go to the source, his own revelation of himself, which is found in the scriptures. And so God has defined himself, he has revealed himself for us through creation, but in special revelation, the Word of God, we have God's own self-revelation of himself. And so we go to that source, and we learn, and we study, and we read, and we find out what the prophets said, and then we come to the New Testament, we see what the apostles said, and we just continue to build our understanding of God and his character and how he loves to save sinners. And so, you know, it's okay to read great books like J.I. Packer's Knowing God, for instance. You can read other books, you know, from more of a modern-day authorship. But the fact of the matter is simply this. If you want to really understand how to make healthy disciples, how to engage in growing a church in a healthy way, you know, really we just need to be bound to the scriptures. And, you know, any church that has a high view of the Word of God really teaches the people to surround the pulpit, to surround the pulpit and to just long for the warmth that comes from the preaching of scripture, and then to gather in small groups and do the same thing, and then to encourage one another through the faithful, you know, reading of the Bible, meditating upon God's Word. That's where you're going to really start making disciples and then discipling those disciples as they come to faith in Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Jenny, for the question. And Jenny, we have your city and state in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. Please give us your full mailing address, because you have just won a book by one of the speakers at the G3 conference coming up in January, Paul David Tripp. You have won his book, Parenting, 4 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. And that was a winner of the Evangelical Christian Publishing Association's Book of the Year Award for Christian Living. So retailing for $22.99, quite a pricey book there. And that is yours free of charge. Of course, if you're not a parent, please read it, glean what you can from it, and give it to a parent if that is your wish. But that would be a good idea. And we thank you for participating in today's show with a great question. We have a listener in Eastern Suffolk County, New York. We have Ronald, who says, this may be a bit off topic, but it relates because you are having a conference. How do you react to a group of Christians who constantly repeat the refrain, I'm so conferenced out. There are far too many conferences going on, and I think it is taking away from the primary functions of our duties and responsibilities to the local church. How do you respond to that? I've heard that, too. I don't know if you have heard it.
Yeah, I've certainly heard it. I would agree with, you know, with the idea that we have a lot of conferences. If you're conferenced out, maybe you're going to too many conferences.
Or maybe you're just going to the wrong ones.
and that's certainly true. I mean, you can really go to some bad conferences, and there are some bad conferences out there. But the fact of the matter is simply this. When it comes to the local church, you know, our commitment is first and foremost to the local church. Any parachurch organization or ministry that exists should be for the purpose of coming alongside the church, not to, you know, get the cart before the horse or let the tail wag the dog, so to speak. Parachurch ministries exist to help the church. And so conferences, really good conferences, where you put forth some effort in knowing and learning and growing in your faith, can be a wonderful thing for the local church. imagine if you had just, you know, 15 or 20 families from a local church that went to a good, solid theology conference each year. Imagine how that would help, how it would encourage, how it would, you know, promote healthy methodology and healthy discipleship within a local church. And so, again, I would say that if you find any parachurch ministry or conference that's trying to take the priority away and the spotlight away from the local church, then you need to avoid that type of ministry. But most good conferences that I know of, and I know that this is a commitment of the G3 conference, is that we want to help the local church, and we want to strengthen the local church and encourage the local church. And we want everyone to know when the conference ends is that you can't be a member of the G3 conference, that you're a member of your local, tangible, visible New Testament church, and it's time to go home and get back to work. And so if you're conferenced out, maybe you need to take a season off of going to so many conferences and maybe pull back and go to one or two a year and really try to just put your focus into how God could use you in your local context.
And I think that another thing that should be considered is people need to reevaluate their priorities, because a conference can be a real breath of fresh air. It can be an energizing thing. It can be a thing that really returns zeal back into your life. And those people who are conferenced out, and I'm not saying as you, obviously, you agreed for the legitimacy of that feeling or belief. But at the same time, if you feel conferenced out, you should be asking your question, are you feeling too TV'd out? Are you feeling too footballed out or baseballed out or hockeyed out or basketballed out or movied out or whatever it is that you like to do? Another thing to consider, and I'm sure you agree with this, Pastor Josh, even though you are a pastor, your pastors can't be an expert on everything. And one of the reasons you have a conference, I'm sure, Pastor Josh, is that you don't even think you're an expert on everything. Otherwise, it would be the Pastor Josh Bice Conference. And even if you have somebody of the intellectual level and the level of brilliance of our mutual friend, Dr. James R. White, he is not an expert on everything. He shies away from discussions on eschatology, because that's just not his area of study. And there are other things that are not his areas of study. I don't know how much he knows about Swedenborgianism. but your pastor, your local pastor, cannot possibly be an expert on everything. And there's nothing wrong with going to conferences to learn things that your pastor doesn't know, just like there's nothing wrong with reading books and reading commentaries and listening to sermon audio and all that kind of a thing. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we listen to programs like Iron Sharpens Iron, for instance, and it's a way to, you know, be encouraged. Another thing is going to conferences, you tend to rub shoulders with people that you don't normally, you know, have the opportunity to rub shoulders with.
That's right.
I look for, you know, these conferences like the G3, I look for, you know, just great opportunities to reconnect with old friends and to be encouraged in how God's using them in their particular area of ministry. And so it's always just a really encouraging time. But again, we're reminded at the very last amen of that conference that it's time to go home. It's time to get back into the trenches. Sometimes it's not always like the breath of heaven where we're serving. And so conferences can be, you know, a wonderful tool to encourage struggling pastors, struggling Christians, and people that are young in the faith as well. And so, you know, I'm not one that looks at conferences as a bad thing, but I do look at conferences as a parachurch ministry, something that can never take the place of the local church.
Amen. Well, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, New York, you have also won a free book by one of the speakers at the G3 conference, Paul David Tripp. He wrote the aforementioned Parenting, Four Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. So you'll be getting that probably in about a week or so. So please give us your full mailing address, and we'll have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service ship that out to you. And by the way, for those of you who have been patiently waiting for any books or Bibles that you've won by submitting questions to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I just received word today that the owners of CVBBS.com, Todd and Patty Jennings, are caught up now. They're caught up shipping out everything that was backlogged and waiting to be shipped out to our listeners. And I apologize for any tardiness in that whole thing, in that whole matter. And so, God willing, you'll be getting your books and Bibles in about a week or so, since apparently everything has been shipped out that is due to be shipped out. And in fact, I'm going to go to a break right now, because I don't want to interrupt you mid-sentence. We're very close to the time that we are supposed to be going to a break. In fact, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to email you a question from Slovenia. And our listener Joe, our faithful listener in Slovenia, has a question for you. And I'm going to email it to you so you have it right in front of you and you can mull it over during the break. And I'll read it right now and you can answer it when we return. Dear Brother Chris, thanks for blessing us today with Pastor Josh. Please address the question about how local church pastors are two best disciple believers during the regular Sunday worship gatherings, especially in light of the fact that the majority of Southern Baptist Convention churches see worship services as mostly geared toward evangelizing the lost who may be in attendance. Is this traditional tendency originating with Finney an appropriate focus for many churches? Well, I assure you, if it originated with Finney, it can't be. it can't be an appropriate. It is an inappropriate, but can't be appropriate. But anyway, we'll have Pastor Josh answer that question when we return from the break. And if anybody would like to join Joe from Slovenia with a question of your own, give us an email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back, God willing, after these messages from our sponsors.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, But since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Pastor Josh Bice, Senior Pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, blogger at deliveredbygrace.com, and director of the annual G3 conference. And we will be discussing in a bit one that is coming up in January. Our theme today is a continuation of a theme that we began last week, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. If you would like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And before the break, Pastor Josh, as you know, I read a question to you from Joe in Slovenia, who says, please address the question about how local church pastors are to best disciple believers during the regular Sunday worship gatherings, especially in light of the fact that the majority of Southern Baptist Convention churches see worship services as mostly geared toward evangelizing the lost who may be in attendance. Is this traditional tendency originating with Finney and an inappropriate focus for many churches? Thank you very much for addressing my question.
Yes, so Joe, I would simply say that the whole idea, the whole tendency or the commitment of many churches to spend Sunday morning primarily focused on just preaching to the unbeliever is, it's really just an incorrect model of what it means to be a part of a local church. So, we have assumptions, and the assumption would be that the majority of the people sitting out there are unbelievers. And if the majority of the people sitting out there are unbelievers, then you probably need to spend the majority of the time preaching the gospel to them and doing evangelism. But if they're members of a local church, then they must be treated like believers, and they must be discipled in the faith. And so the best way that pastors can do this is to preach the full counsel of the Word of God. And if you go and see how the Apostle Paul spoke to the elders in Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, he said that he had preached the full counsel or the whole counsel of God's Word. And so what we need to do is we need to be committed to rightly handling the Word of God, and we need to be committed to preaching not just the easy text or the evangelistic text, you might say, but to preach the totality of Scripture. And so this is a massive problem today. When you think about churches that are anemic, they're a mile wide, an inch deep, and all of that type of imagery, the reason for that in many cases is because you have ministries that are very much committed to just doing evangelism on Sunday rather than preaching the full counsel of God's Word and discipling believers. For instance, since I live in the Atlanta area, I've, you know, for many years been attending Braves games. I'll go to many different games, and it's interesting when you go to a game, and I'm sure that this is the case in many different cities, but if you go to the Braves game, you'll notice that there's an awful lot of stuff that's going on around the game in these modern baseball parks. You'll notice that there's restaurants and there's, you know, things and games for kids, you know, to practice their pitching or their hitting. There's various different shops you can go into. And during the game, you can walk the entire perimeter of the baseball park, and you can find that there are people engaged in laughter and fun things and various different shops and restaurants and various different, you know, activities surrounding the game while the game's going on. And pretty soon the game ends, and as it comes to a close, they realize, you know, they've spent time at the ballpark on that day, but they haven't really engaged in watching the game. And I think that that's the way it is around the church in many cases. There are an awful lot of people today that will say that, you know, they'll make statements like this. They'll say, well, I just don't feel like I'm being fed. I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, I think that if that's really the case, I think you need to evaluate some things. Ask this: are you over-serving in your local church? Are you constantly away from the pulpit? Are you constantly disconnected from the life of the church? If the first and most authentic mark, or the first mark of an authentic church, you might say, is the preaching of the Word of God, and I believe that that is indeed the case, then being disconnected on a regular basis from the pulpit and the preached Word is detrimental to your faith. It's detrimental to your discipleship and your progression in the faith. For instance, if I were to take a cell phone and put it on a desk and then take the charging cord and put it 1 inch away from the device, it's not going to charge it. It has to be connected. And so we need to be very much connected to the pulpit. We need to be connected to the preached Word. And then the pulpit, the preacher, needs to be committed to preaching the Word faithfully. So both are extremely important. And when there's a disconnect from the right preaching of the Word and surrounding yourself or involving yourself or engaging in the regular preaching of the Word, and there's going to be problems in a person's life, and there'll be problems in that local church.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joe, in Slovenia. And I know you're a parent because we have your daughter's mailing address in Georgia where to ship the book that you've just won, Parenting for Gospel Principles, that can radically change your family. One of the many, written by one of the many speakers at the upcoming G3 conference in Atlanta, Paul David Tripp. And we thank you for giving us your daughter's mailing address in Georgia to make it much more affordable to ship to you, or should I say, to make it much more affordable for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service to ship to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as I said to you last time, Joe, please try to make arrangements to get to the United States in January, during that period of time, the 18th through the 20th, to attend the G3 conference in Atlanta. And you can, you know, you have a combined purpose in that, visiting your daughter and whoever else you have here in the States in your family. And, of course, to keep your priorities correct, you should be going to the G3 conference first. But I would love to meet you face-to-face and have fellowship with you, so please try to make those arrangements. Speaking of that question that Joe asked, although this has been a caricature thrown at us who are Reformed, the caricature doesn't exist for no reason at all, because unfortunately there are some Reformed churches that very rarely ever evangelize the lost during their sermons, which very often can be lectures and so on. Now, that's not the kind of preaching that you and I are used to by any stretch of the imagination, but I know that it exists. I have visited Reformed churches, and no slam intended against our paedo-baptist brethren, but they usually are paedo-baptist churches that have sometimes nothing more than an academic lecture, and of course this would be a minority amongst those thoroughly Calvinistic, on fire Presbyterian churches. I'm not trying to broad brush by any stretch of the imagination. I'm talking about a minority of Presbyterian churches that can have the atmosphere of a seminary classroom rather than hearing any evangelism to the lost. So is the opposite problem something that you are equally concerned about, the problem opposite to what Joe in Slovenia was talking about?
Well, definitely. I think that, as I would say, we need to make sure that we're committed to preaching the Word and the totality of the Word on the Lord's Day, and not just preaching a warmed-up John 3:16 sermon every single week. I think that each week you can do a faithful job of preaching to and speaking to the unbeliever that might be in attendance. I know at our church we frequently have visitors on a weekly basis, so I'm constantly aware of the fact that it's very much probable that there are people on a weekly basis in the church gathering that aren't genuine followers of Christ, that aren't genuine Christians. And so I want to make sure that at some point in that sermon, I take an opportunity to point them to Jesus Christ, to cast themselves upon the mercy of Christ, to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I want to make sure that I'm doing that on a regular basis, because for one, Chris, I was a lost church member. So, just as I said before, I think that we don't need to assume that everyone in the church is lost, but you don't also want to just assume that everyone in the church is saved.
That's right.
So in the Bible Belt where I serve, there's an awful lot of people that have, become members of local churches that don't really have any clue as to what the gospel is. So I want to make sure that I'm preaching the gospel and telling people, pointing people to faith in Christ alone for salvation. But that's not always going to be the totality of the sermon. The text of Scripture will always bring about the main topic of the sermon, okay? So it's not the sermon that determines the topic. It's the text that determines the topic. And so, but it doesn't matter if you're preaching, as I am, through Ephesians, and you're coming to the very end of that letter, and you're dealing with the armor of God, the imagery that the Apostle Paul employs about being prepared for the, for the battle of the Christian life, you can still preach the gospel in that sermon. You can still point people to faith alone in Christ alone. And so I think that any preacher that's called to preach the Word of God needs to be consistently preaching the gospel and pointing unbelievers to faith in Christ.
Amen. And as one of your G3 conference speakers has informed me, Todd Friel, he was an ordained minister and discovered that he was lost. I mean, that phenomenon is not without precedent. Abraham Kuyper was led to Christ as a pastor by an elderly woman in his own church.
That's right. It's very common. In fact, I preached my first sermon 12 days before the Lord saved me.
Wow.
So it's very, very possible that on any given Lord's Day, there are numerous people sitting on church pews that, are not genuine Christians. And so we need to be aware of that. And we don't need to neglect the preaching of the cross and pointing people to, to faith in Christ, because, again, that's our hope. And so it doesn't matter. It's not as if we need the gospel to be saved and then suddenly we don't need the gospel anymore. So I think that you have, on one side of the coin, you might have people that are guilty of not preaching the totality of the Word of God because they're just basically doing evangelism every week. And then on the flip side of the coin, you have people that say, people that are already saved, they don't need to be hearing the gospel consistently. Well, yes, they do. We need the gospel every single moment of every day.
Yes, and as my dear friend Peter Jeffrey of Port Talbot, Wales, as he has said in the title of a book that he wrote a number of years ago, Christians need the gospel too. The gospel is not just for the lost.
That's right.
And let's see, we have another listener, RJ in White Plains, New York, that he asked, do you think there are too many celebrity churches or churches where the pastors think they're celebrities or are wannabe celebrities, where they just preach and they're finished their sermon, they duck behind the pulpit and they're never to be seen again until the following Sunday, and the church has really become more like a theater where people hear music and may hear a sermon, perhaps even an edifying one, but there is no shepherding taking place. Is this phenomenon more widespread than we may realize?
Well, I certainly think that it is out there. I don't know how widespread it is. I know that there are plenty of really faithful pastors that you might call celebrity pastors that don't treat their pulpit that way, that are very much involved and engaged in the life of the congregation. I do think that there is a problem with celebrity. I do think that there are people who have neglected their own pastors and have turned to parachurch organizations and conferences and conference speakers, you know, basically to pastor them. I've had people call me and ask for advice on things. I'm happy to give advice, and I have a blog, and I write articles, and so that just simply lends itself to questions and answers. But at the end of the day, I'm going to give an answer, but I'm not given the responsibility of shepherding that particular individual if they're not a member of my church. And so I want to be very cautious to give pastoral advice to people that I'm not putting my shoes under their table, so to speak, and looking at them face to face and talking with them and spending time with them and caring for them as a sheep and a shepherd relationship. So, again, I think that you have pastors that are, you know, you might say the wannabe celebrities that, you know, don't have any interest in caring for the flock, and that's certainly not what a pastor's, you know, is or is defined as in the scriptures. And then you have the flip side of that. You have the church that, you know, is very much interested in listening to the celebrity pastor, but not so much interested in, you know, dialoguing with or counseling with or, you know, having the oversight of their own pastor, their own pastors, the elders of that particular local congregation, and that's a tragedy as well.
Yes, and that's don't you think that's one of the dangers of growing a mega church or a very large church? Now, some churches, by God's grace, have been preserved in their theological purity and their ability to shepherd very large flocks. John MacArthur's congregation immediately springs into mind, Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, but they also have enough elders and enough gifted men to shepherd a church that size. But there are some churches. I know of a woman, a very godly woman, a friend of mine, who is a member of a very large charismatic church in New York City. And I asked her one day, so is your pastor a personable person? Is he a likable guy? And she said, well, I would like to think so. I've never met him. You know what I'm saying? So that concerns me.
I think that the idea, and again, I'm very much committed to the single church, single campus church model. I'm not a fan of, you know, the multi-site church model. I do think that at times, you know, you have people that grow these mega network, you know, type of church settings, and, you know, you have people that go many years without meeting their pastor, and I think that that's certainly not a healthy model.
I have a question that I am trying to enlarge here. Well, let me, while I'm doing this, I'm going to give our email address to our listeners. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, your country of residence, if you live outside of the USA. And if you need to remain anonymous because it's about a personal and private matter, then obviously we will respect that request of yours. And we thank you for submitting questions to us, even when they are about intimate and private and personal matters. This is from a pastor. I might as well give a plug to his church, this next question. Pastor George Jensen, who is the lead pastor of Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. And I am reading his question now. Let's see here. For some reason, I'm having a hard time enlarging this font. I have a question for your guest. Here it is. I just joined you, so you may have addressed this. I am convinced that the best people to disciple children who have made a genuine profession of faith in Christ are parents of those children. However, many Christian children are not blessed with Christian parents. What do you think is the next best way for the church to disciple children who do not have Christian parents to do so? And that's Pastor George of Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. And that's an interesting question. So I'm assuming Pastor George is referring to either couples who are visiting a church and are recognizing that they are not saved, they're not members of the church, they're just visiting. And I also know there is a phenomenon that's been going on probably for centuries where lost parents want the church to babysit for them and they drop the children off at churches. But if you could respond to Pastor George's question. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? Because we have to go to a break. Could you respond to that question when we return from the break? And don't go away. We will be right back, God willing, with Pastor Josh Bice right after these messages. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. Before I return to our discussion with Pastor Josh Bice of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, on knowing God, a biblical understanding of discipleship, I have some important announcements to make. This week, Thursday and Friday, Sermon Audio's The Foundation Conference will be held. June 22nd and 23rd, that's Thursday and Friday of this week, at 350 West 26th Street in Manhattan in the Chelsea area of New York City. And I am thrilled that I am heading out to New York City tomorrow to be a part of that conference. Speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Dr. Joel Beakey, Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of Grace to You, the radio, television, and publishing ministry of John MacArthur, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, and more. If you would like to join me at the almost at the G3 conference, which will be coming up in a second. If you want to join me at the Foundations Conference in New York City, go to thefoundationsconference.com. Thefoundationsconference.com and register there. If you cannot make it to Manhattan, if you live too far away or your schedule does not permit your travel to New York City, then you can listen and watch the conference via live streaming at thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and also sermonaudio.com, sermonaudio.com. After that, God willing, I will be heading off to Maine in August, Portland, Maine, to be exact, to Fellowship Conference New England, and that will be held at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine, featuring such speakers as Pastor Don Curran, who is the Eastern European Coordinator with Heartcry Missionary Society, which is an organization founded by Paul Washer, my dear friend Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is an author and pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Pastor Jesse Barrington, who was on our program recently, he is pastor of Grace Life Church in Dallas, Texas, a sister church of Grace Life Church in Lake City, Florida, who runs Grace Life Radio that airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. And also Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who is our guest next Tuesday, the 27th of June, to discuss his book, Reviving New England. Pastor Nate Pickowitz is also pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. If you would like to register for the Fellowship Conference New England, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And then following that, in November, from the 17th through the 18th, in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology on the theme, For Still Our Ancient Foe. And that is one of the lines from Martin Luther's classic hymn, A Mighty Fortress. And if you would like to join me at that conference, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And the speakers at that conference include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, who I have interviewed many times, but I met Tom Nettles for the first time face-to-face at the last G3 conference. What a honor and privilege that was, and I also interviewed him on site with a portable recorder. What a precious brother and what a gift to the body of Christ Tom Nettles is. Dennis Cahill and Scott Oliphant, they will all be speaking at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, November 17th through the 18th at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Once again, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And then last but not least, the aforementioned G3 Conference, founded by my guest today, Josh Bice, a pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia. The G3 Conference returns to Atlanta January 18th through the 20th, featuring, God willing, Paul Washer, Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, who is my guest today, our mutual dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Tom Askell, the president of Founders Ministries, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, whose book we have been giving away, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Derek Thomas, and Martha Peace. And, of course, as we've been saying, there is also a Spanish conference the day before the English conference on January 17th. If you would like to register for this conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and then click on G3 Conference 2018, and you can register there. And we will ask Pastor Josh in just a moment about the discount that's still available. Also, I have to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of donations, additional donations. A number of you have been very generous to us, and I thank you more than the English language can possibly convey to you how grateful I am to you for your generosity. Some of you have even given to Iron Sharpens Iron multiple times. Some of you have begun to make it as a part of your monthly giving. And I am so thankful and grateful to God for you and grateful to you. I've been praising God every time I receive a gift from one of our listeners in the mail. Just go to, if you'd like to join them and help out Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and click on support, and then you will have an address, a mailing address, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I appreciate that. Please never, ever, ever, ever siphon money out of the regular giving that you are accustomed to your local church. and never take food off of your family's table if you are struggling to make ends meet. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to do those two things, then please donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you love this program, you think it's important, if it's a part of your daily habit, I would love to receive any kind of support you can give. If you want to advertise with us, send an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and just put advertising in the subject line. So thank you so much for putting up with me with these public appeals for donations and advertising, but I've been urged to do so by those who already advertise on Iron Sharpens Iron. So I really appreciate all of the encouragement and support I receive from all of you out there who have already taken steps to help us out here. Now we are returning to our discussion. We are returning to our discussion with Pastor Josh Bice, Senior Pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, blogger at deliveredbygrace.com, and director of the annual G3 conference that I just mentioned. We are discussing part two of Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship, which is also the theme of the 2018 G3 conference. And before we return to Pastor George Jensen's question, Pastor Josh, tell us about the discount that is still available for those registering for the G3 conference.
Yeah, Chris, the discount is basically that the rates are set to raise on Monday, so that's June the 26th. And typically we have a schedule you can see on g3conference.com that there are certain dates throughout the year where we have to raise our registration rates, and that's simply because of all of the funds that are required to put on a conference like the G3. And so it always pays to just register early. So, again, people that want to pay less for a conference can certainly take advantage of that by registering early, and we always like to spread the word as much as possible beforehand so that people can, you know, secure their seat and get a good hotel that's close to the conference. Many people last year mentioned that they would have liked to have stayed on site, on campus, at one of the two hotels there. And so those properties are also located on the travel page of the G3conference.com. And you can go ahead and get a room reserved on site if that's what you would like to do, just to make it easy so that when the conference is over or if you need to rest in the middle of the day, you can certainly just walk right back to your hotel room. So, again, all of that information is available on the website, and rates will be set to raise on next Monday.
Great. And, again, the website is g3conference.com. That's G and then the numeral 3, not the word, g3conference.com. Well, as you know, before the break, Pastor George Jensen, lead pastor at Enola First Church of God in Pennsylvania, and that's spelled E-N-O-L-A, First Church of God in Pennsylvania, he asked about... I'll repeat his question. I just joined you, so you may have addressed this. I am convinced that the best people to disciple children who have made a genuine profession of faith in Christ are the parents of those children. However, many Christian children are not blessed with Christian parents. What do you think is the next best way for the church to disciple children who do not have Christian parents to do so? And he has given us a second email, Pastor George. Not only those that have been dropped off at church or babysitting, as you stated, but also children who are brought to church by their Christian grandparents, not by their parents. We have this phenomenon in our church, unfortunately. The grandparents are Christian, but the parents are not. It is a sad thing, but we certainly don't want to lose an opportunity to disciple these children. Obviously, it's also a very precious and wonderful thing that the grandparents are taking these children, but obviously you would want the parents to be involved in that as well. But if you could respond to Pastor George Jensen's question.
Sure. I think the situation that's being articulated would be, I guess you could approach it from a couple of different ways. I think the best way to reach those kids and the children with the gospel and to disciple them would be to evangelize the parents. So I think that going after the parents with the gospel and trying to be very much intentional about that would be a really good means of reaching the children. Ultimately, if you have the parents who come to faith in Christ, then you can disciple them to then turn and disciple their own children. If they're simply just being brought to church by grandparents or brought to church and dropped off, for instance, you can always go about that in a couple of different ways. Beyond, you know, evangelizing the mom and dad, you can also, if your church has good ministries to young people, you can certainly focus on the gospel and teaching the gospel and then putting into the hands of those particular children good resources. So one of the things I think would be an advantage here would be to just be giving good books and good resources to these children to help them read and understand, number one, what is the gospel, and then second of all, how can they grow in their faith, and to encourage them to cultivate, you know, a love and a desire to grow, even in a home environment where it might not be modeled, so to speak. I remember when I became a Christian in the Southern Baptist Convention context, they had a theme years ago that when children would respond to Christ and be baptized, they would give you this little thing called a survival kit. And it had all types of, you know, information in there about how to start your journey, you know, of faith and how to be encouraged in the faith. I haven't seen one of those little survival kits in many years. But what I think would be a really good thing for churches to do would be to have good resources, a list of resources or a collection of resources that could be handed off to children in such circumstances. So evangelize mom and dad, and then preach the gospel, teach the gospel to these kids, and put into their hands good resources. That would be three really good practical ways of doing that.
Well, thank you, Pastor George Jensen of the Enola First Church of God. I have your website, but I do not have your mailing address, so please email me with your mailing address, because you have also won a book titled Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family, which obviously goes hand in hand with your question, by Paul David Tripp, who is one of the many speakers at the G3 conference hosted by my guest, Pastor Josh Bice. So please make sure we get your mailing address, and we'll have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service ship that book by Paul David Tripp out to you. And let me give a plug to Pastor George's church by giving the website. It's enolacog.com. That's E-N as in Nancy, O-L-A-C-O-G for Church of God.com. E-N-O-L-A-C-O-G.com. Thanks for listening, Pastor George, and keep listening and spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Enola, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Here's something that's a bit off topic, but since it's, I think it's important, I will ask, read you the listener's question, even though we addressed it the last time you were on the air, and we also addressed it yesterday when Phil Johnson was my guest, and also because this is a first-time questioner. Connor in Carlowtown, Ireland, and I have no idea if I'm pronouncing Carlowtown correctly. I know I'm pronouncing town correctly, but C-A-R-L-O-W would seem to be Carlowtown, but I've learned the hard way that when people are from foreign countries, you never know how you're butchering the pronunciations of their names or the names of the cities where they live. I had the experience of eating in an authentic Irish restaurant in New York City, owned and operated exclusively by people from the Republic of Ireland, and my waitress told me that her name was Anya. And I said to her, when I wanted another glass of water, excuse me, can I have another glass of water, Anya? And she says, pardon me, what'd you call me? I said, I called you Anya. What did you call me that for? I said, isn't that your name? And she said, no, it's Anya. You know, it's a, what can I say? A subtly different way of pronouncing it that my ears can't detect, and she had no idea what I was saying. In fact, she said, I thought you were calling me an onion. But anyway, Connor in Carlowtown, Ireland says, Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries has suffered, in my view, slander and libel recently due to his recent Muslim dialogue with Qadi. What is your view?
What is my view of the slanderous comments?
And of course, I know that you do agree that it is slander and libel, but perhaps you could just comment on that for our listener who did not hear our discussion, apparently, the last time.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that it's okay to disagree with someone on positions. It's okay to disagree with someone on methods. For instance, as I mentioned in that previous conversation, Chris, I'm a member of a Baptist church. I pastor a Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, or just west of Atlanta. And we are a partnering church with the Southern Baptist Convention. There are many different people in many different churches within the SBC that I don't agree with on many different things, certain theological positions and certain methods that are being employed in those particular circumstances. And it's okay to disagree with people on things, but it's not okay to slander and to harm someone's character. And so I think the scripture is very clear. When we read the Bible, we see words and warnings about slander and about gossip and about, you know, statements that might be used for harm rather than building up in the faith. And so if you differ with James White on certain ways that he's approaching conversations and dialogues with, you know, the Muslim community, I don't think that you have a right to slander his character in the process. And so it's extremely unfortunate that some people think that they can hide behind keyboards and just write things that are very much harmful to people. James White is a friend of mine, and he's a faithful apologist. He's a gift to the local church. I believe that his ministry is very much interested in coming alongside and helping the local church, not, you know, distracting people and detracting people from their commitment to their local church. So to take aim at someone because you think that you should do it a different way and to harm their character is simply not profitable. Second of all, again, as I mentioned before, you know, there are different methods that can be used in reaching people with the gospel. Many of James White's debates are very much, intense, you might say, in many different ways. He goes for the jugular. He does not shy away from preaching and teaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, even in his formal debate settings. But sometimes there's a need to have just a cool-handed dialogue with people that are certainly embracing a false religion, such as the religion of Islam. They have false religious documents. They have a false prophet that they worship in many ways. They have a false god that they worship. But again, there's also a lot of misconception that floats around on certain news outlets about what Muslims actually believe. And so I think it would be very healthy for us to understand, number one, what does the religion of Islam, what does it teach, and what does the religion of Christianity teach? What are the differences? And then use those dialogues as an open door to reaching people with the gospel, telling them the truth of the gospel. So I think that these attacks on James White, these recent attacks, I think are extremely unprofitable and, you know, certainly don't have a true foundation to stand upon. They're just nothing more than slander.
And I can't help but think that there is a Billy the Kid phenomenon going on, not with everybody that's criticizing Dr. White, but I can't help but think that there is a Billy the Kid phenomenon. And what I mean by that is that just like there were a lot of wannabe gunslingers back in the 19th century and early 20th century, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that wanted to take down Billy the Kid because In one sense, they at one time viewed him as a hero, and then later viewed him as a rival, and they wanted to conquer somebody that was far more well-known and popular and sought after to bring attention upon themselves. And I think that that, unfortunately, is some of the phenomenon that we are seeing taking place. And I'm not going to ever identify who I think is doing that for that reason, because I'm not a mind reader. But I just can't help but think that there are people who are trying to siphon away attention and support from Dr. White and draw it towards themselves, and they're perhaps envious of his gifts and his stature and his popularity and his level of success and achievements and brilliance. I mean, do you think I'm off base there?
No, I think you're right on target. I do think that, however, you've probably given a lot of ammo to certain people on the internet who are going to go around putting memes out on Facebook and Twitter with Dr. James White in a cowboy hat.
Well, in some sense, as the old saying goes, I am in advertising and have been most of my adult life. And as the saying goes, no advertising is bad advertising. But thank you for your question, Connor. And interestingly, we have another listener in Ireland. I don't know if this is just a quote-unquote coincidence. Obviously, it's providential, but I don't know if these two even know each other or if they're sitting in the same room. But we have Joe in Kildare, County Kildare, Ireland. And Joe in County Kildare, Ireland says, first of all, thank you so much for the G3 conference this year. I'm assuming he's talking to you. I listened to it in full via your G3 app on my phone and would heartily recommend it to the listeners. My question for Pastor Bice for the subject at hand is, in light of Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, in terms of the priority of the ministry of the word and prayer, where does discipleship factor in terms of importance for elders or pastors? I guess he left off the words come in. I think that should have been at the end of that sentence. Where does discipleship factor in terms of importance for elders or pastors come in? I have heard some liken the practice to waiting on tables and therefore excuse themselves from discipleship, claiming the ministry of the word and prayer is their main responsibility. Can your guest please offer his opinion from his understanding of the scriptures on this important topic? Yours in Christ, Joe, in County Kildare, Ireland. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to email you Joe's question and have you answer it when we return from our final break. Okay, Pastor Bice?
Very good.
And if anybody would like to join us, we are running out of time rapidly. So please email us at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence, if you live outside of the good old USA. And you may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages with Pastor Josh Bice.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnz, and if you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron, our guest for the last 90 minutes and the next 25 minutes to come has been and will be Pastor Josh Bice of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, blogger at deliveredbygrace.com, and director of the annual G3 conference coming up in January 18th through the 20th with a Spanish conference on the 17th of January. Go to g3conference.com for more details about registering for those events, g3conference.com. And today we are discussing, and have been discussing, Knowing God, A Biblical Understanding of Discipleship, Part 2. And we have been getting a lot of listeners with questions coming in here today. And we had Joe was the last listener that we had, I believe. Joe in County Kildare, Ireland, and his question to you, I will repeat his question, and while I'm doing that, when I'm getting this question ready, if you'd like to join him with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Pastor Bice, the question from Joe in Ireland is, in light of Acts Chapter 6, 1 through 4, in terms of the priority of the ministry of the word and prayer, where does discipleship factor in? in terms of importance for elders or pastors. I have heard some liken the practice to waiting on tables, and therefore excuse themselves from discipleship, claiming the ministry of the word and prayer is their main responsibility. Can your guest please offer his opinion from his understanding of the scriptures on this? So I'm assuming he means that the pastors are excusing themselves from discipleship, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I think that's where he's going, but if you could comment.
Yeah. Well, if it's the pastors or the elders of the church who are excusing themselves from discipleship, then they're excusing themselves from what God's called them to do as pastors. In Acts chapter 6, you have what I believe to be the first institution of the office of deacon, and you have seven men who were chosen to basically save the church from the first church split. And you had, you know, widows that were not being, you know, cared for properly. And so in order for those, you know, ministries to take place and for faithful ministry, practical ministry to take place behind the scenes of a massively growing church in Acts chapter 6, you see that they were basically given instruction to, call out from among them seven men who were full of the Holy Spirit to take care of that task. And so it was those particular men in that particular context who were given that charge, and it was the apostles who were then freed up to give themselves fully to the word of God in prayer. And it specifically states that in verse number 7 of Acts 6, that the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So if you look at that text, you see discipleship connected to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. As the word of God increases, disciples are made, and they're able to then grow under the preaching of the word of God. So elders should not excuse themselves from discipleship, because that's not serving tables. Serving tables is the practical ministries of the church. That's the practical nature of the church. But, you know, discipleship and making disciples and teaching disciples the word of God is very much the calling of an elder.
Well, thank you, Joe, from County Kildare, Ireland. And by the way, Joe from County Kildare asked for the name of our other listener from Ireland, because he missed the name, and that's Connor. And Connor is from Carlow Town, Carlow Town in Ireland. So that's interesting that Joe in County Kildare didn't even know that that Connor in Carlow Town was writing in. So perhaps you guys can become acquainted with each other and become friends if you do not already know each other. Thanks for writing in. And by the way, I apologize to Joe and to Connor, but we cannot ship the free books that we offer overseas, because it would just be astronomical for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service to add overseas shipping to the already mounting costs of shipping nearly daily free books to our listeners who live here domestically. So I am sorry that we can't send you out free books overseas. But if you come to the G3 conference, and I met at least one person there from the UK at the last G3 conference, and I know I met a few other people from different foreign countries. If you come to the G3 conference, I would love to meet you, and I will give you a free gift if you meet me at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth. Thanks to Josh Bice, I will be manning an exhibitors booth there, God willing, at the G3 conference. So we'll give you some kind of a gift if you attend and show up there at the booth. We have a first-time listener, Bud from Jacksonville, Florida. And he says, first, it was a privilege to meet Pastor Bice earlier this year at the Shepherd's Conference He's speaking of John MacArthur's conference in California, I assume. I enjoyed a few minutes of conversation with him. My question, given the evident downgrade that seems to be accelerating within the Southern Baptist Convention, particularly the increased emphasis on unbiblical, seeker-sensitive, felt-needs church growth methodologies, along with the necessary diminishment of doctrine such practices demand, what is it that compels you and Praise Mill to continue the affiliation? I'm curious as to Pastor Bice's observations on the current state of the Southern Baptist Convention. Thank you so much for the opportunity to pose this question, and thank you for a terrific show. That's Bud in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah. Well, I do remember meeting Bud. It was definitely good to talk with him there at the Shepherd's Conference. But to the question, I would simply state it as follows. There is, I believe, a downgrade in many ways. There continues to be. There has been for many years within the SBC. There continues to be what I would call unhelpful, unbiblical methods that are being encouraged from some of the leadership of the SBC. And so I'm certainly not happy at all about that. One of the things that people need to know that are outside of the SBC is that the SBC does not have any bearing upon our church. So our church is an autonomous church located just west of Atlanta, Georgia, and we don't take any orders from the Southern Baptist Convention. Southern Baptist Convention is a voluntary network of churches, and it's also a very large network. So within that umbrella, or underneath that umbrella, you might say, there are very healthy ministries that we can partner with. So what we like to do is we're doing a lot of mission work. We planted a church in Ecuador about 5.5-6 years ago now, and we spend a lot of time and money there on the mission field. We do partner with other ministries within the SBC that we can trust, but what I'm getting to is simply this. They don't tell us what to do. We tell them what to do. And if we don't like the direction that the SBC is going, we can pull back as much as necessary. And so I think that it's extremely important for us. It's the conviction of myself and my fellow elders at our church that we want to make sure that we're understanding that we're going to stand and give an account before the Lord on every single dime that we invest in any particular ministry. So if we're giving to ministries within the SBC that are unhealthy, then we're going to be held accountable, you know, for that particular choice. And so we want to be careful in that. So we're trying to make wise and careful decisions on who we partner with. But we don't think that just pressing the eject button altogether at this point would be the best decision. We think that we can help steer and encourage and promote good methods and proper biblical doctrine within the SBC by staying a part of the SBC, and instead of just completely severing ourselves from that particular network of churches, if we can find good, healthy, profitable ministries within the SBC and partner with them, then that's going to be a good means of us helping to encourage and to promote those healthy methods and healthy theology. So I hope that that answers the question. I'm certainly not happy and pleased with everything that I see in the SBC, but I do see some really bright spots, and I'm encouraged by those particular individuals and ministries, and we want to stay close to them and partner with them when we can.
Great. And by the way, Bud, I don't know if you are already a member of a faithful Bible-believing church out there in Jacksonville, Florida. But if you're not, I heartily recommend the church pastored by a dear friend of mine out there in your neck of the woods, and that's Sovereign Grace Family Church in Jacksonville, Florida, pastored by my dear friend Keith Foskey. And the website for Sovereign Grace Family Church is SGFC, for Sovereign Grace Family Church, jax.org, and that's spelled J-A-X.org. So it's SGFC jax.org for Sovereign Grace Family Church in Jacksonville, Florida. If you are not a member of a church, I urge you to visit Sovereign Grace Family Church. And I'm assuming that your pastor wouldn't mind if you are already a member of a church. I'm sure he wouldn't mind you visiting Sovereign Grace Family Church anyway, especially if they're having a special event. And I know that they have annual conferences and so on. And if you do visit there, or if you're already a member there, please send my warmest greetings to Pastor Keith Foskey and his lovely wife. I would appreciate that very much, and I hope to see them again soon, and hopefully I will see them at the G3 conference. I'm not certain of that, but I hope so. Let me ask you a quick question. What would have to happen, in regard to Bud's question, what would have to happen for you to finally break ties with the Southern Baptist Convention? And I know there would probably be a number of things, but also on top of that, are you required to financially support the denomination? That muddies the waters for some people who believe that, as the scriptures say, that light cannot have fellowship with darkness, and they would apply it to a Christian belonging to a denomination that has elements within it. I mean, there are genuine Christians in denominations that are far more unbiblical than the congregations currently a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, although that denomination, as you know, had quite a long period of extreme liberalism. But there are brothers in Christ in the United Methodist denomination. There are brothers in Christ in the PCUSA. There are brothers in Christ even in the United Church of Christ, and other denominations like that have a reputation, a notorious reputation for liberalism and apostasy. What would have to happen for you to say, I'm sorry, I've got to cut ties here?
Yeah, I think it would have to be something that would be along the lines of heretical. And there are, again, certain people, certain voices that would say, well, there are certain people in the SBC that are teaching, you know, things that are very close to the heretical lines. And I get that. But again, that's not the foundation of the SBC. There are crazy uncles within the SBC that make their way to microphones every year, write things, they promote themselves, they promote their own agendas, and there are certain groups within the SBC that I certainly don't agree with on various different levels. There are certain schools that I certainly wouldn't send any money to within the SBC on certain levels, simply because I don't agree with their methods. I don't agree with some of the things they're promoting and teaching. However, that's not the case by and large. I think that there are many ways that we can still, effectively partner within the SBC network, and we're seeking to do that. But if there ever comes a time when the SBC becomes an inclusive denomination, people who are, actively promoting an LGBTQ agenda, and if there's ever a day where the SBC decides that they're going to, allow that to be something that we promote and accept, then that would be an issue for me. We would definitely sever relationship immediately. If there's ever a doctrinal change to the Baptist faith and message that would include, heretical statements, or that would further water down what's already there, which I believe has been watered down over the years from the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. You can read the Baptist faith and message and see elements that look back to the London Baptist Confession of Faith, the 1689. And you see that, again, it's been watered down over the years. If a further downgrade were to happen where that document would be, changed and altered in such a way to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to veil it, to further veil it behind a veil of ambiguity, then I would certainly say I think we need to press the eject button at that point. But as it stands now, you do have some crazy uncles. You do have some things that I don't agree with. You do have some methods. Even this year, there was a particular sermon that was preached where one particular man was encouraging voice inflections and mood music to draw people down to the front of the church at the end of a sermon. I wanted to just cringe when I heard that type of thing. But again, that's not something that's mandated. If you're a part of the SBC, you're not mandated to use those methods. We have voices of reason that speak against that within the SBC, and we're trying to promote as much health as we can within this group, within this network of churches. And if we get to a point where we feel like we're not being profitable in that regard, then we'll need to make those decisions at that time.
By the way, I forgot to tell Bud, since you are a first-time listener, Bud, in Jacksonville, Florida, not only are you winning a book by one of the speakers at the G3 2018, Martha Peace, The Excellent Wife, you're also winning a free New American Standard Bible. So please give me your full mailing address in Jacksonville, Florida, where we can mail those two items, and obviously, if you are married, you might want to give The Excellent Wife to your wife as a gift, or perhaps to your daughter or anyone else that you know that may one day be married or already is married. But I just wanted to let you know that as a first-time listener, you win two of those two things, I should say. And thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you remain a regular and loyal listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep spreading the word about the program in Jacksonville, Florida, and beyond. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland. What are the pros and cons of a one-to-one discipling where individual needs are recognized and addressed, or a set of discipleship program, for example, Jack Miller's, for either an individual or a group?
Yeah. So I guess the question, Chris, is tailored to the idea of like small group discipleship. Is that correct?
I'm assuming. That's from Murray in Kinross, Scotland. If you want to clarify, Murray, shoot another email to us.
Well, I would simply say that as far as small group discipleship, whether it's one-on-one or in a small group, I think that that's extremely helpful. I think that it's necessary even within the life of the church. I think that we see that in Titus 2, for instance. We see that in Deuteronomy when we see parents being urged and commanded to take seriously their calling to make disciples in their own homes. So small group discipleship is something that we're mandated to engage in. But I wrote an article on my blog that was published this morning titled, Why Your Small Group Cannot Be Your Church. And the whole idea of the article is just saying that while discipleship in a small group is necessary and good and healthy and profitable to our souls, we need something more than that small group. We need preaching, too, where in small groups you have general discussions, or you're reading a book, or you're reading through the scriptures, and you're dialoguing back and forth, you're having Q&A, and someone's being very intentional about investing in someone in a discipleship context. You don't necessarily have the preaching of the Word of God. Teaching and preaching, I believe, are different things. I think that there's overlap, but I think that there are different things. I think you see the word didasco being used in the Word of God for teaching, and I think you see the word keruso and other words used in the New Testament for the act of preaching. So in the preaching of the word, you have a herald who's standing there passionately declaring a message from the king, and there's not a lot of dialogue that's taking place. There's not a lot of Q&A that's taking place. And so what we see is we see that the church needs preaching too, not just dialogue, not just Q&A. We also need to recognize the fact that in a small group setting, the observance of the ordinances is not taking place. And we need to observe the ordinances with the whole church, with the collected or the collective body of believers within that particular church context. And so that's essential. You don't need to have small groups having baptisms alone. You don't need to have small groups observing the Lord's Supper alone. You need the gathered church for those church ordinances. And then also, you need to just have the whole church together, the whole body together, not just body parts. Just like the imagery that we see Paul using as he writes to the church at Corinth, and as he alludes to the human body, talking about that every body part matters, we don't need to just have certain body parts gathered up in little groups, in little Saturday morning coffee shop discussion groups. We actually need the whole body to come together. And in fact, as we read the New Testament, we see the need for the offices of the church. The work of an elder is essential, and the work of deacon is essential. And oftentimes you have small groups that don't have the work of the elder and the work of deacon taking place in those particular contexts. And then finally, I would simply say that we need to make sure that we're gathering to sing. One of the great ways that you can encourage faithful discipleship in the context of your local church is to sing really good songs and to have musicians who are skillful in their use of musical instruments, and to be able to lead appropriately and to sing the gospel together with a diverse group of ages and races and sexes coming together to sing the one true gospel of Jesus Christ that brings us all together. So in the life of the church, you have scripture reading, public reading of scripture, singing. You have various different ages, diversity there, all engaging in discipleship. And so you need more than just a small group. You need the whole church to come together as well.
Amen. Well, thank you, Murray in Kinross, Scotland. Please continue spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Scotland and the UK and beyond. We have a listener that has a question that could really be expanded into a full show or several parts. But we have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, that asks, I know that the host of Iron Sharpens Iron, Chris Arnzen, has a complementarian understanding of gender roles. I was wondering if your guest, Josh Bice, also has that conviction. And if so, how does he explain someone like Martha Peace speaking at the G3 conference? That's a fair question.
Yeah, very fair question. Number one, yes, I am complementarian in my view of gender roles, not only in the home, but also in the life of the church. Second of all, Martha Peace, likewise, is a complementarian in her view, and Martha Peace will be leading a breakout session for women. She's not going to be preaching to men. She is invited for the purpose of teaching women, and so we want to encourage wives to come, ladies to come, along with their husbands, and to come and learn the Word of God. And so that's the purpose of an invitation like Martha Peace, and we think that she can be used to encourage other women who come to the G3.
Now, do you think there are any circumstances, in fact, I know that you believe there are some circumstances where a woman can legitimately speak to a mixed crowd of Christians, of both men and women, not preach to them, but, for instance, Rosaria Butterfield spoke to a mixed audience at the G3, And there are women who have given their testimonies in very conservative churches, even in Grace Community Church, where John MacArthur pastors, Johnny Erickson Tada has spoken there. So what are these circumstances where a woman can speak, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that it's very clear as we look at the Word of God that a woman is not to she's not to hold authority over a man with the handling of Scripture. So she's not to engage in the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to men. I have a very firm conviction about this, and that's why I wrote the article that I wrote on my blog addressing what I believe to be a clear compromise as it relates to Beth Moore. But I think that as it pertains to, say, Rosaria Butterfield coming as she did last year, I think that, you know, speaking to a mixed group as you're sharing your testimony, as you're sharing how you came to faith from, you know, a homosexual background and that type of thing, I think that that can be very profitable and useful, especially as it pertains to that issue that's of such great controversy today. But yeah, we're not asking Rosaria or Martha Pease to come and preach to men. That was not the invitation, and that certainly did not happen. And so we want to be very clear as to where we stand and the convictions that we hold here at the G3 Conference.
And women give their testimonies in churches all the time while standing in baptismal tanks. So,
absolutely.
Bibi, you have won a free copy of The Excellent Wife, A Biblical Perspective by Martha Pease, compliments of Focus Publishing, and compliments of CVBBS.com. We're out of time. And if you'd like to visit the website of Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, go to praisemill.com, and also the G3 Conference website is g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Thank you so much, Pastor Bice. Thanks to all of you who wrote in questions, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.